Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Does Mormonism allow for a primary cause? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me to discuss this question is my colleague, Eric Johnson. We are continuing our look at the Journal of Discourses, 26 volumes of sermons given by a number of Mormon leaders during the 19th century, trying to give you a little bit of a glimpse in some of the things that were actually taught from the pulpit in downtown Salt Lake City. Today, we're going to look at a statement, we're going to begin with a statement, by Brigham Young. And this is found in Volume 7 of the Journal of Discourses. This starts on page 333. It was a message given by Brigham Young on October 8, 1859. This is what he said. The people called Christians are shrouded in ignorance and read the scriptures with darkened understanding. He goes on to speak about his God, and he says that he is our Father, the Father of our spirits, and was once a man in mortal flesh as we are, and is now an exalted being. Now, of course, that teaching goes right along with what Mormons would say today. They do believe that their God is an exalted human being who has a body of flesh and bones as tangible as man's, and that he became God at some point in time. They do not believe that he was always God. Brigham Young goes on in this speech to say, "How many gods there are, I do not know, but there never was a time when there were not gods and worlds, and when men were not passing through the same ordeals that we are now passing through. That course has been from all eternity, and it is and will be to all eternity. You cannot comprehend this, but when you can, it will be to you a matter of great consolation. It appears ridiculous to the world under their darkened and erroneous traditions that God has once been a finite being." So, is Brigham giving us the impression that he was a finite being and now he's some sort of infinite being? How can you even do that? I mean, how can you go from being the finite to being the infinite? Now, naturally, we do believe that we will exist into the eternities, that we will be given new bodies and we will be able to go on into eternity future.
As Christians.
As Christians, we believe that. However, in Brigham's concept, he doesn't really solve the question that we asked at the beginning of the show. He's merely stating the problem. When he says, "How many gods there are, I do not know, but there never was a time when there were not gods and worlds," well, then who started it all?
And that's an argument, it's a cosmological argument called the Kalam argument. Kalam cosmological argument created by Muslims, actually, in the 13th century, determined that it's impossible to have an infinite past without having a beginning. You have to have a beginning to have a universe. You can't just have an infinite past. You'll never reach today without that beginning. Very important point. I know it gets very deep, but this is something that if you're going to have infinite matter, it's an impossibility for us to be
Well, everything
today.
That has a beginning has a cause.
Yes.
Okay, if the universe had a beginning, it had to have a cause.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it couldn't have just existed forever, which is what some Mormons certainly do believe. Now, Brigham Young tries to address this. On the very next day, he gives another sermon in which he says this, "Many have tried to penetrate the first cause of all things, but it would be as easy for an ant to number the grains of sand on the earth. It is not for man with his limited intelligence to grasp eternity in his comprehension. There is an eternity of life from which we were composed by the wisdom and skill of superior beings. It would be as easy for a gnat to trace the history of man back to his origin as for man to fathom the first cause of all things, lift the veil of eternity, and reveal the mysteries that have been sought after by philosophers from the beginning." I think Brigham Young has a difficulty with this because what I would say is his warped understanding of how all things came about. We certainly do believe in a God who is the primary cause of all things. We believe everything traces back to the God of the Bible. He always was God, according to Psalm 90, verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There never was a time when he was not God. Now, Joseph Smith refuted that very notion. He said, we have imagined and supposed that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. So obviously, right here, folks, we are talking about a belief in two distinct beings here. We are not talking about the same God. The God of Christianity is not the God of Mormonism, not the one that Brigham Young is describing, certainly not the one that Joseph Smith is describing.
Well, the law of non-contradiction says you can't have that God being true and the God that we believe the Bible is talking about, because historic Christianity differs, biblical Christianity differs from what is being said here.
Brigham Young went on in that same speech. He said, mankind are here because they are the offspring of parents who were first brought here from another planet, and power was given them to propagate their species, and they were commanded to multiply and replenish the earth. So here is that notion that there are these other planets out there. And remember what Brigham Young says, how many gods there are, I do not know, but there never was a time when there were not gods in worlds. Worlds, earths, planets. These words are all used interchangeably. And of course, many Mormon leaders have insisted that when a Mormon becomes a god himself, he will be rewarded with his own world, earth, or planet. Which is interesting, because here Brigham Young hinting of this, he does teach this in other places, and yet today the modern Mormon church wants to deny the idea that Mormonism teaches that those who are exalted as the gods will get their own planets or worlds. They're basically contradicting what many leaders have said in the past, and even when they deny this idea that men can have their own worlds in the future, they're denying two manuals that the Mormon Church actually is selling right now in their distribution center, one being Gospel Fundamentals and the other one's Teachings of Presidents of the Church on page 90, where it talks about Lorenzo Snow telling the story about little kids making clay spears and how he said that someday they were going to be making their own worlds. So it's in their own writings, even though the Mormon Church on their own website, the Newsroom 101 FAQ, is denying it right now. Well, what do you do about that? How did it all begin? Mormons can't answer that because they have what's known as this infinite regression of gods, and this is what causes them so many problems in trying to answer this question.
Yeah, you're right, Bill. On Volume 2, this is Orson Pratt speaking on February 18th, 1855, on page 345. He says, if we should take a million of worlds like this and number their particles, we should find that there are more gods than there are particles of matter in these worlds. That is incredible to think about.
Read that again for our listeners. Folks, I hope you're listening to this. I mean, read that again.
Yeah, he said, if we should take a million of worlds like this and number their particles, we should find that there are more gods than there are particles of matter in those worlds.
That is not Christianity. That is not Christian
teaching. He doesn't end there. He goes on and says, one world has a personal God or Father, and the inhabitants thereof worship the attributes of that God. Another world has another, and they worship his attributes. And besides him, there is no other. And when they worship him, they are at the same time worshiping the same attributes that dwell in all the personal gods who fill immensity.
Wow. We have another statement by Brigham Young, also found in that same volume that I was reading earlier, in Volume 7 of the Journal of Discourses. This is September 1st, 1859. Brigham Young said, it is our privilege to so live as to enjoy the spirit of our religion. That is designed to restore us to the presence of the gods. Gods exist, and we had better strive to be prepared to be one of them. So clearly, Brigham Young is encouraging his people to not only believe that they could become a god, but to hopefully strive to become a god. And I have talked to many Mormons who really do believe that they will become a god. Now,
sure.
I got to be honest with you, that does not even, that does not even tempt me. I have no desire whatsoever. I've often said that I'm ashamed that I'm a part of the problems on this planet. I certainly don't want to be in charge of any problems on another planet. That does not even excite me.
That almost sounds like a hell in a sense, that you have to have exactly what God the Father has to have endured with us, and then you have to go through that whole thing again and have a war that goes on in heaven.
Oh, and the way humans act with each other, I mean, like I say, this is supposed to be God's reward for being a good human. If Mormonism's true, the great majority of humanity doesn't even believe he exists. Yeah. So how is that really something to make you feel good in the next life? I don't get it.
Well, and then in Volume 17, Brigham Young said on July 19th, 1874, on page 143, he said, "We shall go from one step to another, reaching forth into the eternities until we become like the gods," capital G, "and shall be able to frame for ourselves by the behest and command of the Almighty all those who are counted worthy to be exalted and to become gods, even the sons of God, will go forth and have earths and worlds like those who frame this, and millions on millions of others." Now, you had mentioned earlier, Earth's worlds, planets, it's all synonymous.
It is.
And for it to be denied in any way certainly was not what the 19th century Mormon would have understood what Brigham Young was saying.
And I do find that this new denial on the Mormon website, Mormonism 101 FAQ, I'm finding that this denial is not trickling down to the masses probably as quickly as they hope, because I still talk to Mormons who do believe that they are going to become gods and they are going to get their own worlds in the next life. So if this is what the Mormon Church is now saying they don't get, they need to maybe say something from the pulpit in general conference. Maybe that would be a project for Thomas Monson to get up there and say, "Hey, all you guys who thought that you were going to get a planet, let me just tell you, that's not going to happen now." Even though it's in two of our manuals that we're selling right now in the distribution center, I wonder what the confusion would be like if Thomas Monson was trying to set the record straight. Who is writing these newsroom articles? Because apparently they don't seem to be reading their own manuals.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South in West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past five decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.